some people think that they've actually met Jesus, that they're saved because they've had an experience. And I was thinking about the scripture that says, no man can come to the Father except he draws them. Well, how does he draw them? With his presence, with his Holy Spirit. So you might have come and seen something about God, and the Holy Spirit stirred up in you with a love, with a touch of who he is and what he wants to be to you, and you're going, I know him, I met him, I'm saved, he's, whoa, I've met God. But have you really entered into your salvation? Because the salvation has to come from repentance towards God and then faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know we talk about that all the time, but that repentance towards God is where you're making a choice. You're making a choice with your life. I don't just want God to rescue me, fix my marriage, increase my finances, help me, and you know, I'll try to be good. Let's make a deal. It's, I want God. I have tasted. I have seen. He is drawing me. Because you can't come unless he is. So if his spirit is there and he's touched you and you've felt his love, you've seen something of him and gone, wow, I want God. I want him. There's a choice, a decision. Do you really want to give yourself to him? Do you want to give yourself to him? I am continually amazed at people choosing the devil. I just stand there with my mouth dropping open, saying, why? In heaven, when Lucifer turned from God, that worship leader, I mean, this guy was covered in jewels, and he loved Father God. He led all the angels in beautiful worship. And then he decided that he wanted to rule. He wanted to be in control. He wanted to rule something of his own, like God. And you know he didn't say it? He didn't say it. If you check out the scripture, it says that God knew the thoughts of his heart. He knew what was in his heart. That in his heart he was thinking, you know, I'd like to have a congregation of my own. I'd like to go high above the highest stars on the north over there, and I'd like to rule. And I bet he thought, because he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. He didn't say, I'm going to be evil. He said, I'm going to be like the Most High. He coveted to do what only God could do. He coveted to be worshipped and to lead people. And God said, okay, I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to cast you down to earth. I'll let you be the prince of the power of the air. And I will let you rule. And I will let the people I create choose. I'll let them choose. They can follow you or they can follow me. If they follow you, that's their choice. I'm not going to make them follow me. One third of the angels who had been in the very presence of God chose to follow Satan. Why? Why would anyone leave God and follow Satan? How foolish. But they did. And throughout history, people repeatedly do the same thing for the same reason. In the Garden of Eden, God didn't have to put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there. He didn't have to put it there. And he put that thing right smack dab in the middle. Everywhere they went, they could see it. Everywhere they went, they could see it. Because God didn't want a bunch of slaves. He wanted people of a free will to choose him. And they could see that tree. And that tree represents everything we choose instead of God. He told Eve, is it not desirable? Looks really good. I want it. I want it. I think the main reason she wanted it is because she couldn't have it. There's our fallen sin nature again. Somebody says, do not look out that window. Everything in you is, why can't I look out the window? I want to look out the window. I got to know what's out that window. Rebellion. Everything in us chooses. And if there's something we say, I mean, anybody ever start to tell you something and then say, I can't tell you that. Oh, do you want to know? Well, it wouldn't be good to tell you that right now. It wouldn't be good for you. I don't care. I got to know. Well, this is just between God and I. Why? Why can't I know? Well, the tree of knowledge of good and evil with all that. God said, you may eat of all these other wonderful... Here's the tree of life. They never touched it. All these other wonderful things, but not that one. And sure enough, they had to go and do it. And because the devil said, God knows you're not going to surely die. Suspicion and doubt. Why would God kill me? Why doesn't he want me to know? If this tree is full of knowledge, why wouldn't he want me to have knowledge? What is there in that tree that I don't know, that I can't know? I want to know. That's what Satan was saying. I want to know everything God knows. I want to do everything he does. I want to be equal. Because he couldn't trust God. He wanted to do it all himself. You know, it's in there. I showed it to Patty the other day. But we're just talking, so you're just going to have to go with me on It's Written and look it up. Because I don't have them over here ready to go. But God gave Satan what he wanted. You want to rule? I'm giving you the earth. And I'm giving you a season. Go ahead. The whole earth is going to be an atmosphere of fun and pleasure and sin and selfishness and all the things you want to do. Go ahead. Rule it. And say, so I'm going to let people do what they want. And you'll let everybody do what they want. I'll tempt them with giving them what they want. I'll make them feel good. I'll give them pleasures. And everybody took it. But the more Satan moved, the more evil he became. You see, he was the beginning of evil. He was the worship leader, and he fell. Pride was the first sin. I want to be like God. Pride was the first sin. But it germinated, and it grew roots. Selfishness, anger, bitterness, fear, hatred, covetousness, lying, addictions, excessiveness. It grew all these roots, which grew all the natures of sin. He didn't start out evil. He became evil by following that pride. I don't know if there was ever any evil before him, but I know when that God created the earth, he put the tree in the garden, and the knowledge of good and evil were set before everyone, God or Satan. And in this world, our human flesh wants to choose whatever we want to choose. And we've accepted that seed, that basic nature seed of pride, that what about me? What about me? I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I have to have that. I'm going to do it. Don't tell me what to do. It's all me, me, me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to be in control. All of it roots back to that same seed of pride. And then there's the hiding and the shame and the embarrassment. And I don't want to face all that. I don't want to see all that. I don't want to deal with all that. We're at a time of choosing. We're at a time of choosing deliverance, choosing God. And when we choose God, we're choosing to say, God, there's so much. There's just so much deception. There's so much sin. There's so much pain. There's so much abuse that I've received and that I've done. There's just so much. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. And I found a place that I can live with myself in comfort. I found a place that I don't feel so threatened if I don't let people too close and I don't step out too far. And I found this place that I feel a little bit of security and safe. And he's going to take it. He's going to take it because it's not rooted in him. It's all rooted in the me, 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 me. It's rooted in all the nature and character of the devil. So when we come to God, we're not saying, I will change everything. We're saying, I want you. I want your way. I want to eat of your fruits and trees. And I want to throw up all this junk that I ate off his tree. And I want it all exposed. I want it all gone. And I know there's things in me that can't change. But you are the God of the impossible. You can change them. You can do it.
Amen.
You can do it. And that's the repentance towards God. I ate of the wrong tree. I chose the wrong way. I was even born in sin. Carried the sinful blood of my father. I had all the same desire to sin that he had. And I chose it. But now I want it all cleansed away so I can choose you, God. I want you. Sherry?
I think that's something praying that your church needs to do. That's to forgive Adam and Eve.
Forgive Adam and Eve?
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that.
Well,
let's go back to the beginning. Father, we just want to bring Eve before you this morning. Put her in your courtroom. Lord, she, just like us, was tempted, was curious, was desirous, wanted the pleasure of the fruit, wanted the knowledge of wisdom. Lord, she was deceived. We've been deceived. Lord, she was weak and she is guilty. And Lord, we bring Eve before you. And I can just see the mercy drops of your blood running through generations right now.
Sure.
We, the church, forgive Eve.
Yeah.
We drop all charges against Eve.
Yeah.
We ask you to let her go free. Forgive her thoroughly. Forgive us for following her path. And therefore we bring Adam, who followed her path. We bring Adam, who said, well, Eve did it. Blame shifting. God, forgive us for blame shifting. Forgive us for just following what she did in the human nature of sin. Forgive us, Father. Forgive Adam. Cleanse him. Cleanse us. Take it off our records. Father, set us free. Set Adam free. Lord, we bring that snake before you. And we know that he will not repent. We wish that he could, that he would, that he could be restored to the Lucifer, the morning sun who worshipped you. But he's made his choice. But Lord, we forgive him. We do not hate him. We do not even blame him. We've made our own decisions. We do not stand like Eve saying, but he beguiled me. No, we take our own blame. We chose. We chose our sin. So we forgive him. We release him. He's entirely in your hands, God. But we release him from our life, and we don't want to hear him in our ears anymore. We don't want him in our life anymore. God, we go back to the garden and we say, forgive us for allowing the seed of pride to enter our bloodlines at all. Purify us thoroughly. Remove every root, every offshoot, every result, and follow them down to the depths of the very seed and remove the seed. Forgive us for the pride. And we ask you to open our eyes. We ask you to begin to put us in an awareness, to take away the blinders, that we could clearly see the deceptions, the lies, the damage, the wickedness, the vile, the filth, the shame, and that we might not ever want it to touch us, that we might not make agreement with him when he comes. We choose you. We choose you, God. We choose you. And we depend on you. And we accept the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all of this unrighteousness. Deliver us from this sin. And shine in us the eternal life, the vibrant life that you gave us in the beginning and that you reclaim for us in the end. When you beat death and you resurrected, you are resurrection life. Live in us, God, and defeat death in us. Thank you, Jesus. Sharon, that was awesome. Thank you for taking us there. That was good. That was good. Whew. So Satan got what he wanted, and he ruled. And the scripture says, that everything he ruled was destroyed. He said, the land that you ruled, you have destroyed it. You have destroyed the very earth, and I'll have to burn it all up and clean up your mess. Every person who chose you, you have killed. You have killed your children. It is written, and I will find it for you, but I didn't plan on sharing it. But I was amazed when I saw that. And when we desire to be in control, we destroy everything we control. When we say, I have to keep control of this, we will kill everything that we have to control. Those who follow us will die with us and will destroy the very thing that we have to control. And why do we feel we need to control? Back down to that insecurity thing. Jealousy. Jealousy. That's why ministries can't send people out. They're afraid of losing them. Why are they going over there? Why can't they stay here and be a part of us? Don't they love us anymore? Or are they going to love them more than they loved me? Jealousy squeezes the life out of what it loves. Jealousy holds on so tight that it won't let the loved one breathe. And the loved one is going, oh, please, you're choking me. You don't trust me. How can you love a demon? Jealousy is a demon that chokes the life out of its victims. I'm just throwing a few out there today. Fear means I don't trust God. Insecurity means I'm not secure in God. We need to get set free because we can't really know Him until we're free. It's come to my attention. Anybody in here who loves to soak? Just turn on the quiet music, soak, let God do what He wants. Who likes to do that? Who enjoys that? Who is that easy for? Who is that really hard for? Who has the hardest time doing that? Now, be honest with me. Some people have told me, I really have a hard time with that. I just don't know how to get into God that way. Is that you, Rick? Well, you're my guinea pig today. I intended to paint a blue flame. I laid the background. I intended to paint a blue flame, and this is what I got. There's no blue in there, and there is no flame. But this is what God told me to paint, and you're going to be an experiment today, and we're going to do more of these. Because people tell me they have, somebody come hold this. People tell me they have a really hard time soaking. They don't know how to be quiet before God, okay? Well, Rick, I'm going to let you use this, but I'm going to explain it. We're going to have music playing, and there are colored dots at the bottom that are starting dots. And you choose the color you want to start on. And don't try to think. Don't try to figure everything out. Don't worry about what's going on. But all I want you to do is put your finger on the color dot that you like and then begin to follow that line slowly as the music plays. And when you come to a dot, you have to stop. And when you feel it's time, start going. But the bigger the dot, the longer you have to stop. So when you get to big dots, which aren't until way further in, you just stop, close your eyes, listen to the music until you feel like the Lord says, now move. You can jump tracks. You can stay all the way on one color. When something's curious, you can just stop and rub it and see what the Spirit does. Don't try to analyze. Or you can come to a place where you go, I think I'm going to follow this color for a while. When you come to a place there's not a dot or a color, you have to jump. Decide where you're going to jump. You can jump anywhere you want to when you come to a spot without a dot. So that helps you not be trying to analyze everything. You're just moving and flowing, and the Spirit will control that flow. And when you're done, you might not know anything, but God will have done something inside of you that you'll realize in the next few days. You might get done and end up crying, laughing, or nothing. But it's a way to keep you from sitting there going, bored, 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 bored. Don't know what to think about. What can I look at? You know, it's going to pull you into the spirit realm. So that's what God told me to do this morning. And if this goes as well as I think it's going to, I'll paint more of these because I want people to be able to take them right to their table and sit there and do this. So we're going to do this. And the rest of you are going to soak the way you normally do. And maybe at some point Rick will share. Just music, no words. Patty?
Isaiah 14.
Isaiah 14.
Is where it talks about.
Oh, yeah. You want to read it? Let me come to you so I can give you the whatever you found. I'm not there, so I don't know. Yeah. Okay. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble? That did shake kingdoms, that made the world like a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. You shall not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. I'm going to stop there, but do you hear Satan doesn't even get to be buried? He doesn't even get a grave with the people he ruled. And he has a different place in death and in burial. Some people said, well, we follow Satan. Satan is powerful. We're going to be his followers. He'll rule us in hell. You won't even see him in hell. He has his own place. He won't even rule there. He'll never rule anything again once he's thrown into the final pit. Okay, with that encouraging note, let's play the music.
Let the winds of love blow. Refreshing winds of love, blowing from heaven's door on the garden of your for him. I'm the garden of your soul, blowing in innocence, blowing in purity, blowing in first love song, blowing in the ancient song, love song of the land. Let the winds
in sweet tenderness, the shepherd bows to wash the feet of his own. In sweet washes their feet, and he says, if you will not let me wash your feet, how can you partake of all that I have for you? And he says, in my kingdom there.